Good morning, Mayflower. Welcome to online worship, and we're glad that you've joined us. We have seen a lot of responses online. Many of you are part of our worship family here. Others have tuned in, including neighbors far and wide. We welcome you, whoever you are, and good morning. If you haven't looked outside today, it's a beautiful sunny day. This is the kind of day that we'd like to bottle up and send to all of our friends around the country and say, this is Michigan. But it is a beautiful day, and we welcome you. We'd like to thank all of you for your continued faithful support of the ministry here at Mayflower, and we have received so many heartwarming letters and notes from folks within the congregation, some without, and whoever you are, we really appreciate that. Some have made extra contributions so that we can have additional equipment that will help us in our online production, not only during the coronavirus, but as we look to the future. And we know that online worship can be used in so many good ways, so we're getting a lot of practice, but I'd like to thank again our production manager, Kim, for all of his expertise and his faithfulness doing what he does so well, and all of you who support our efforts here at Mayflower, thank you. Hear now these words. Though the way seems long and the road rough, we will trust the one who leads us. Though the direction is unknown and we don't know the outcome, we place our lives in Christ's loving care. It is Christ who brings us out to green pastures and restores our souls. It is Christ who gives us hope and peace. Praise be to Christ our Lord. Amen. Join me in prayer. We are standing at the gate, O loving shepherd, and we are not sure about the journey. But you have called us by our names, and in your voice we hear love and confidence. So Bring us safely, O God, through this dark valley of uncertainty. Grant to us courage instead of fear, hope instead of despair, peace instead of anxiety, unity where there is so much division, and love where there is so much hate. All these things we have seen in you. Impart to us your spirit now, so that we might have openness of heart and clarity of mind as we worship you. Amen.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. God is my shepherd, so nothing shall I want. I rest in the meadows of faithfulness and love. I walk by the spirit shall sing the music of your name. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Though I should
those of you that have received the email from Lorraine already know what our theme is today. It was just sung, and that's the theme on being a shepherd, on being a pastor, thinking about Jesus' role as such when he said, "I am the good shepherd." So it's good to have my partner in shepherding the flock here at Mayflower, Pastor Linda, and We always look forward to sharing, whether it's on Facebook, and I encourage all of you to check that out, those of you that have Facebook, and it's also transferred onto our website. So it'll be coming at least twice a week, and I think Barb Fuller will add to that. So keep looking on our webpage, Facebook, and we will continue to share God's truth and God's love with you. And then you also are aware, hopefully, that this is our first time with virtual communion. But I hesitate to use that word because we share together even as we are separated today. So take whatever liquid, whether it's juice or water or whatever, and bread or crackers or whatever you have in your house, have it ready, and then following the message today, we will share together online, but certainly in our hearts, the Lord's Supper on this first Sunday of the month. Let us pray. Gracious God and loving Lord, we never dreamed this could happen, but it did. We trusted in our economy. We trusted in our technology. We trusted in our abilities. We trusted in our medicines. But everything we have trusted seems in some way to be failing. And now we seek answers, and it seems as though there are none. So help us to renew our faith and trust in you, the Good Shepherd, so you can help us with our patience, which is being tried. Help us to be patient and understanding with leaders who are doing their best to minimize death and suffering. Help us to be patient with scientists who are working feverishly to discover a vaccine but cannot get it to us fast enough. Give us compassion for those who have been the most vulnerable to this virus, unfairly so. Give us the wisdom as we seek to minimize this disease and the pain and death it has caused, yet the concern for those who are out of work and are perhaps standing in the food line. Help us to be more thankful for what we have. Guide us in the decisions which lie ahead for our country and even our church as we seek to keep the safety of our members foremost in our minds. Help us to know when the right time will be when we gather once again. Give us the humility to learn our lessons and to place our faith in the shepherd of our souls who will lead us to still waters and green pastures and who will go with us through the darkest valleys and with whom we shall dwell forever. Help us to keep praying for our world, our nation, our state, our city, and our church, including leaders we like and those we don't. We pray for peace in our land and that leaders will bring us together even when we doubt that it could ever happen. Help us to pray for those who are near to our hearts and for those for whom we have promised to pray, including the ones that we mention right now. And I pray for Candy as a request that has come in this morning. And thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to pray. And now we do. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. John's Gospel uniquely presents Jesus' description of himself as the bread of life, the light of the world, the resurrection and the life, and the true vine, among others, and here as the good shepherd. Hear now these words. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, and they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we have the Good Shepherd. Thank you for the sacred opportunity to be called to help shepherd the flock of God. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Many of you at Mayflower know part of this story that I have shared before, but when I was first hired as a pastor, I was just 7 weeks into my freshman year in college. After preaching my first six sermons on successive Sundays at Woodside Community Church in Fillmore, Illinois, without informing me ahead of time, the congregation gathered on a Sunday and took a vote following the worship service. They deliberated for 5 minutes while I was temporarily banished to the basement where I waited. 5 minutes later, the lay leader came down and told me to come back to the sanctuary. I entered, they clapped, and I was introduced as their pastor. I had never submitted a resume, never met with a search committee, and I had no idea what was in store for me. But I was their pastor at age 19. They asked me then, soon after, to do weddings, funerals, and would often ask me for advice and counsel, if for no other reason than the title that was conferred to me as Pastor Mark. They paid me $20 on those first six Sundays. When I became their pastor, they raised it to $40 weekly, and then $50. And then 3 years later, when I was given another offer to serve somewhere else, they wanted to match the $125 weekly salary that I had been offered. At that church, I stayed for dinner every Sunday, eating delicious home-cooked food at the homes of the members, mostly successful Illinois farmers. In the foyer of the church was the dinner list, and everyone signed up. And they all seemed to show up on church on the Sundays following a significant rain during the summer months when the corn needed it most. And in the larger crowds on those days, they would say it over and over again, "Pennies from heaven, to God be the glory." I never once looked at a budget or knew where any money came from or went except what they faithfully paid me. Without it, I don't know how I would have been able to continue in college. And I will never forget the experiences that I had there. Now, to be sure, I would not recommend that path for anyone else. And I would encourage any young minister like the one who I'm mentoring now to get all the education they can before they begin their career. Looking back, it would be easy to say that that congregation was foolish. And maybe they were. But they were not stupid. They needed a shepherd. And I just happened to be a readily available and eager, blindly enthusiastic candidate who did not take into consideration his own inexperience and that he was in a little over his head, perhaps. But the one advantage I did have was that I had a grandfather and father who were pastors. So I knew what it meant for a pastor shepherd to encourage, comfort, and inspire a flock. I knew what it meant for folks to learn more about the Bible through study, sermon, and discussion. I knew what it meant for a pastor to have fun with members, like when my mother and father hilariously learned how to water ski at a church picnic. I knew what it meant in a time of loss, grief, and sorrow for the pastor to show up, offer words of comfort, read scripture, and pray. I knew what it meant to families when a loved one was in for surgery, where life and death was hanging in the balance. And regardless of any word spoken, any scripture read, or any prayer offered, it was mostly remembered and appreciated because the pastor, the shepherd, just showed up. In this 10th chapter of John, where we could only read a portion, Jesus used the most common metaphor in all the Bible, that of a shepherd and sheep, when he spoke of himself as the good shepherd. The image begins in Genesis with Abel as a keeper of sheep. Jacob tended his own sheep. Rachel, his beloved, also kept her father's flock. In Exodus, Moses cared for his father-in-law's flock. And later in 1 Samuel, David was given charge of his father's sheep, even though he was the youngest son. And there are multiple instances in Scripture where sheep and shepherds convey very important theological insights. In the ancient culture of the Near East and in the early nomadic culture of Israel, there was a strong economic dependence on sheep for food, clothing, milk, and religious sacrifice, among other things. So it is no wonder and not surprising that the occupation of the shepherd is used to depict God as caring over God's people, like the most beloved Psalm 23, quoted yesterday by Deanne, to a neighbor she has known for more than 40 years, who is dying. In the gospel account, Jesus announced himself as the good shepherd. That image of Jesus' self-portrayal was intimately understood by his disciples, but troubling, to say the least, to the Pharisees for obvious reasons. When Jesus died, he has been depicted as a lamb that was slain, in an understanding of salvation obtained through one who suffered with all humanity in mind. But here, Jesus uses the image of the gate, the gatekeeper, the hired hand, and the thief and the bandit who would like to come in and destroy. So the image I would like to briefly emphasize is that of the community, the flock, the group, and its relationship to the shepherd from a modern shepherd's point of view. And his name is Craig Rogers of Border Springs Farm in Patrick Springs, Virginia. And here is some of what he says. First, a shepherd's life is a most humble one. From the beginning of time, he says, shepherds have been the proverbial ditch diggers, the downtrodden, and the disrespected. Because of that, it is no wonder that some would rather be called ranchers, landowners, or indeed flock owners. Now, in the world of professional ministry, most of us don't struggle with the image of being a shepherd or pastor. It is certainly a respected profession. But the work must always be done with humility, for it was the shepherds who first received the joyous news that great joy would be brought to all people through a Savior who would be born. And that is the message we try to faithfully and humbly proclaim with our words and our lives. Joyous news, good news. Second, sheep are smarter than you think. They are often thought to be dumb, partially because of their flocking tendency. But it is precisely that where they have learned there is strength in numbers. It is a group survival technique. And a baby lamb is up and walking in just a few minutes, he says, and very soon finds its food supply, which is sustained by staying close together, close to the group, close to the community. Now, as a pastor, I will tell you this. I can't believe how smart sheep are. They don't need an authoritative voice, but a gentle voice, which always passes along good news from God, and a voice that is recognized. And they need to see someone who goes ahead with courage and compassion, making it easier to follow. Third, Craig says, tend to the flock, but care for the individual. Now, providing clean water, ample forage, and shelter is essential in maintaining an entire flock. But, he goes on, the success of a shepherd or shepherdess is in the compassion they have for each individual sheep. The ability to care for that one that is sick, injured, orphaned, or malnourished makes the whole flock healthier, happier, and according to him, more profitable. Now, my highest joy as pastor, and I know that Linda identifies with this too, is the personal relationship we have with each one of you. Now, as the flock grows, we enlist the help of other good shepherds, like Reverend Linda, who also knows how to care lovingly and compassionately for each individual sheep. Now, I do pay attention to numbers, but I always try to remember what I learned long ago. Don't spend so much time counting the sheep, but feed the sheep. Fourth, the joy of new birth doesn't ever get old for the shepherd. It is sometimes difficult, and it doesn't always go according to plan. He recalls that sometimes he is involved in reaching into the uterus to aid in birthing a lamb when lambs are breech. But there is always exuberant joy when that first breath is taken. Now, we live here in this community, in a neighborhood where a lot of babies are not being born. But when we baptize and welcome new members into God's family, our joy is beyond words. May it never cease to happen. Fifth, cuteness does not last forever. Cute little babies and sheep get a lot of attention, as well they should. But little lambs grow, and Craig says they become sexually mature at 6 months. Their cuteness is soon gone, but their need for care never does. Ever. Well, when I go to my mom's house and look at pictures, I can tell you I was a pretty cute little baby. And I was not a bad-looking adolescent, but I'm not cute anymore. Many of you are not as cute as you used to be either, right? Except in your pajamas right now. It's pretty cute, but all of you are the most beautiful sheep that I've ever seen. Six, nothing is more picturesque than sheep grazing on a hillside. Craig says that he likes to look out from the farmhouse at sunset for an hour and watch the serenity of a sheep's life with heads down eating grass with other sheep at their side. He says, around here we don't stop to smell the roses. We stop to admire our sheep. Now, I admit it, as Pastor Shepherd of Mayflower Church, I'm proud of you. Sometime, hopefully sooner than later, I will be able to see you all together, scattered across this sanctuary, however we'll do that, and I will admire you as never before. When we are together, it is part of what we understand to be the abundant life, the community life that Jesus has promised to us. Seventh, a good dog is more than a great friend, and I bet you're wondering where I'm going with this one. A special dog named Jake has done the work of our farmhands, Craig says, and joined him in moving 1,000 sheep from the farm to the mountain pasture and rounded up cattle 40 times his size. He worked in the searing heat of a summer day and the bitter chill of a winter night. His dog has been responsible for his livelihood, his contentment for a job well done in farming. And a joy to have that dog at his side. Well, none of you are dogs, but I have had and continue to have so much help in the shepherding and caring for souls. And as the job is so well done, it brings me great joy. Eighth, death on the farm is inevitable, but never easy. In spite of the best efforts to help a mother deliver a lamb, failure happens. Sometimes one has to be euthanized for humane reasons, and many are sent to the slaughterhouse, humanely treated, he says, to make the farm sustainable and profitable and to feed and nourish human beings. Death is always hard and painful, but he is reminded never to take death lightly. For shepherds, pastor shepherds, funerals are part of the deal. A pastor has to do the inevitable, even when death comes early or as a surprise. One thing I can tell you, one thing that we can tell you, the words of Scripture are true. Precious in the Lord, or precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. And from another modern-day shepherdess from Montana named Juanita Carranza, whose family immigrated from Mexico in 1923, says that while lambs have multiple births, they can only care for two at the most. So she says, I raise some lambs by myself with bottle feeding three or four times a day. She says, I really bond with them. Then she goes on, doing the work is like the Gospel of John. I know my sheep, and they know me. As pastors, many times we are called to tend and care for sheep like a nurturing mother. I do admit I want to know how many people are in worship. There might be a reason someone couldn't make it, but the sacred job of the pastor shepherd is again not to count the sheep, but to feed them. Finally, she says that when her family arrived in Mexico in 1923, there were signs, no dogs and no Mexicans. And she says, there are about 10 black sheep in the herd. They don't care about color. She reported, if people could learn that, it would be a lot better world. Now you'll have to indulge me a little bit on this one. This is from a pastor's heart. Here in Lansing, we have been the center of the universe for protests right on the steps of our Capitol. And I fully recognize that there are difficult issues and disagreements on when and how our society and our country will reopen for business. I was incensed when I saw loaded guns, flashing pistols, Confederate flags, and Nazi symbols, while many were flagrantly defying social distance protocol. Some were shouting profanities within inches of our state police who were simply trying to do their jobs. More has happened this week, including an airplane that rode an obscenity through the clouds in the sky over Grand Rapids. I was reminded that these protests were instigated by minorities, particularly African Americans or other dark-skinned minorities. These kinds of protests would likely not have been tolerated. Those symbols of racism are an affront to almost all minorities. And for a few minutes this week, I want to tell you that I was not proud to be a Michigander, especially when I got a text from a dear relative of mine who I love very much, who sees the world differently, and he sent me a text having to do with the Nazi images of governmental leaders here in Michigan, and he was laughing about it. And I texted him back, trying to be as kind as I could, and I said to him, I share every Sunday morning about a man who said, inasmuch as you've done it one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me. And I'm going to ask you, my dear relative, to be respectful of that. He sent me a note back and he said, I'm glad to hear it from the other side. And I made a decision in tears this morning because these are difficult, delicate issues. But I made this decision that here in Lansing, you would not attend church, online or otherwise, without hearing how our faith intersects with our society. Because I know you, love you, and I am called to care and protect you, I want to be the kind of a shepherd that will willingly lay down my life and my life's blood and energy for all of you, because you, all of you, deserve it. And I do it on behalf of the Good Shepherd who has already laid down his life for you and for me. The last instruction given to Peter by our Lord was this: if you love me, feed my sheep. On behalf of the Good Shepherd and the guardian of our souls, let's eat. Thanks be to God. So in like manner, we welcome you to this table. Whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church, all you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments and present ourselves to God, who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment in our lives. So you will be offered bread and wine on your own, or juice and crackers, whatever you have, and we will share the elements together. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, as he sat at supper with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said to them, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat as often as you are able. Do this in remembrance of me." I eat and I'm thankful. After supper, Jesus took the cup,
gave thanks and blessed it and said to them, "Take this cup, my blood, which is shed for you, and as often as you do it, do this in remembrance of me." I take the cup and drink and am thankful. And now, thanking God for all that has been done in Christ for our salvation and indeed our hope, we pray together the prayer of thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and increase our love toward one another through him, our Redeemer. Amen.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the now receive this benediction. To him who is able to keep you from falling and present you blameless before the Lord of hosts, to honor and glory and dominion belongs forever and ever, keep you in the fold of his love, and go in peace. Amen.
While the world offers symbols of hate and racism and all manner of everything that goes against our belief in our loving shepherd, the guardian of our souls, we offer symbols today of light and peace and hope. God be with us all until we meet again.
Sunday, did you hear the thing when Deanne goes after the service, she goes, oh.